Let me invite you over to the Gospel of John chapter 17, verse 24. The Gospel of John chapter 17, verse 24. Gospel of John chapter 17, verse 24 reads this way. It says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Again, Lord, thanking you that you are in our midst. And we ask, Lord, for your blessing, that you might guide us into your truth, that we might hear from you, that you would be glorified, and, Lord, our lives drawn closer to you. I pray that you would speak to our hearts as only you can. May you build Northwood Baptist Church up for your honor and glory in all your churches. But specifically, Lord, we ask this for us tonight, that we would be found faithful when you return. Lord, bless tonight, and we'll thank you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is that they may behold my glory. And God wants us to see his glory. There's a lot said about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot said about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The world has an opinion about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it positive? No, they'd have you think we believe in a fairy tale. Wouldn't they? They'd have you, oh, listen, that's just such a fairy tale. You know what has always boggled my mind? Why people get so mad at the preaching of a fairy tale. I mean, if it's just a fairy tale, it's not real, is it? And yet we know that there's a spiritual battle that is taking place in an unseen realm. We know that there are demonic forces, as the Bible, as the Word of God tells us. And you know what amazes me? That the devil's crowd will even talk about the demonic forces. They'll even sing about it, thinking that it's something to be celebrated. And yet the Bible, the truth, the Word of God tells us, it is the road not to happiness, but to destruction. And yet the ways of God are not really found by the broad way. They're not really found by the multitudes. In fact, the Bible says, Jesus said, that the path that leads into life is narrow, and few there be that find it. We have a lot to be thankful for tonight. God has allowed us to find the narrow way, the Lord Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Oh my goodness, that gets the world and the devil and his crowd, they are his crowd. I know that because I once was part of that crowd. And I am glad God opened up my eyes that I might go away from that crowd. And so listen, there's no middle ground. You would look at my life and a lot of people would say, oh, listen, you know, he's a good guy. In my eyes, I thought I was a good guy. I didn't look to hurt anybody. But you know what? I was lost and undone. And whether I realized it or not, whether the world saw it or not, I was part of the devil's crowd. It takes the grace of God to remove you from the devil's crowd and put you into the family of God. It is the grace of God that gives us that second birth that makes us a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so tonight, as we consider this, I want you to know what we've been given in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is that we might behold the glory of God in our own personal life. Do you know, I'm afraid that a lot of people, believers, think that maybe the glory of God is something so far out of their reach, and yet if they're saved, it dwells within us. Amen? It dwells within us. So tonight, I want to look at a couple of things. And I want to ask two questions. First of all, does God care about the world? Amen. Does God care about us? You know, the world lives like God doesn't care about them. What is sadder still is that for God's people to live like God does not care about them. Look with me, if you will, in verse 21. I want you to see that God does care about the world. Verse 21 says, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Notice, and this is speaking of the disciples, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Does God care about the world? Absolutely he does.
But God is wanting to do a work in our lives, and he's already begun that work through salvation. He wants to continue the work so that the world may see his testimony in our life, listen, and believe. The difference between the first century believers and what's going on today is the power of God was vibrant in the life of the believers. They were not educated or taught to believe anything that was contrary to the word of God concerning their relationship with the Lord. They weren't taught that they had to strive harder. They were taught that it had been all done. That's the difference between our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and every other religion. In every other religion, there's a work to be done. In the Lord Jesus Christ, he did it all. Amen? And that's an important truth to believe, because that is the liberating truth, and we can approach the Lord with great expectations. So you looked at verse 21. Let's look at verse 22, and we'll focus in on verse 23 here. But notice, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." Now, let me ask you a question. He's talking to the believers, and you'll see that here in just a moment. In fact, let's do this. Look at verse 20. "Neither pray I for these alone." Now, he's talking about the 12 disciples there, or the 11 at this time. "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Question, is that us? If not, we better pack up shop and go home. That's talking about us. So the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for us. Amen. Has prayed for us in the past. During his earthly ministry, he prayed for us. Isn't that amazing? What? That we might be one with him, and that we might experience the glory of God in our lives. Look at verse 22. "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." Now here's verse 23. "I in them," are we the them? Let me ask you that again. Are we the them? Are you sure? Because if you're not sure, we're going to be in trouble. All right. "I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect," or mature, "in one, and that the world may know." Question again, does God want the world to know? Does God love the world? Does God want them to know about salvation? All right, here's the question. How does God want them to know? In your life and mine. I didn't make that up. I couldn't make that up. This was in the mind of God. I would have never come up with this one. But here it is. Ready? Verse 23. "I in them, and thou in me." So he's talking to the future. Okay, watch this. "I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Isn't that amazing? Now, wait a minute. It gets even better. Does God care about us? Look at verse 24. "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me," the 11 disciples and all the other future believers, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory." God wants us to see the glory of God today in our lives. That's what awes us. That's what empowers us. So he says, verse 24, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known thee that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them." That's us. "And I in them." So does God care about us? Does God care about us succeeding? Now, I want you to stop and think about something. We're going to look at a couple of things here tonight that God is saying about the apostles. And you scratch your head and you think, Is the Lord looking at the same apostles that I'm looking at? You remember Peter? At this time, before the resurrection, he was good to get himself in trouble. Now, he made some right answers. And remember when the Lord asked the apostles, who do men say that I am? And this is important. Then he asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? And you know that one fellow that always had a habit of chiming up, you know, I mean, just speaking up, you know, before maybe engaging gear. But I want you to know he did something that was led by the Holy Spirit, by God. And so he says, thou art the Son of God. And what did the Lord say? Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Isn't that amazing? Listen, Peter actually got it right, didn't he? How did he get that right? Because he was so smart? Because he was so patient? Kind and gentle? Not one bit. How did he get that? The Father gave it to him. Question, how in you and I, how will we ever get it right? It will have to come from above, won't it? See, listen, this is the liberating truth. This is the missing ingredient today in the life of the believer. Today, the believer is failing because they think it rests upon them to be different. So they're striving and failing. And God says, you know what? Listen, I won't share my glory with another. And they keep trying and they keep striving. And they keep praying, asking God to strengthen them. Make me stronger so that I can serve you. And you know what God says? I will not share my glory, not even with the best of intentions. I won't share my glory. I will give it if you'll ask for it, but I won't share it. And so here they are, and they're striving. And after the resurrection, Peter got it. What did he get? The empowering of the Holy Spirit. And then he said, hey, listen. He didn't remember before when the Lord said, Peter, the sheep are going to be scattered. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. They'll all forsake you. Now, I want to tell you how I see Peter. Right? You may not see him this way, but here's how I see him. He was a fisherman. He was a rugged man. Question, do you remember when Peter pulled out the sword when they were going to take the Lord Jesus Christ as prisoner? And he cut off the servant's ear? Do you think he was really aiming for his ear? No, I don't think so. Listen, he was the only one that was willing to fight the whole multitude there. I don't think in the eyes of man, he was afraid of much. I think he was a man's man. Now that can get you in trouble though. Because without God, it doesn't glorify him. So here he is trying to take on. I'm telling you, I really believe he meant what he said. The problem with that was he left God out of it. I am convinced tonight there are people that are determined to really serve the Lord and are failing. Do you know why? Because we do it in our own strength. And so what was God doing in the life of Peter? He did not want to strengthen Peter, did he? No. He was trying to bring Peter to the end of himself. Do you know why we struggle in our walk with faith? Because God is trying to bring us to the end of ourselves, to where we say, you're right, God. I can't do it. You do it. Listen, you know what the definition of insanity was? Was it Einstein that coined that phrase? That to repeat the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome. So here we are, you know, repeating the same thing over and over again and coming to the same conclusion. So how about we try doing it God's way? Amen? Instead of our way. How about we believe when the Lord said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith upon the earth? He wasn't saying he wouldn't. How about we believe he'll find it at least in Northwood Baptist Church? How about we believe at least he will find it in me by his grace that he's given to me? And so here's the whole predicament. Here's Peter trying, and God says, you know what? You're going to deny me three times tonight. And finally, you know what happened to Peter? He wept bitterly, didn't he? When he caught it and he saw it, God let him see something, didn't he? Peter, you had the best of intentions. You know what the problem is? The flesh will never glorify God. You will either do it by my spirit or it won't happen. The same thing in your life and mine. We've got to be willing to say, God, all right, Lord, here I am. Somewhere, somebody talked about a piece of clay needing to be, and it was talking about Israel, and God sent Jeremiah on a little trip to look at the potter, and there was a piece of clay in the middle of that wheel. And God said, don't I have the right to do with my vessel as I please? Question, is that true of us? Does God not have the right? So maybe we must say to the Lord, show me your way, Lord. And help me to keep from thinking the way I think things ought to be. And so here's the Lord really giving an impressive revelation to the disciples. And I am convinced that after the church was empowered, they understood things in a different light. They struggled and they were right there with the Lord. And if we're struggling, it's the same reason. God's trying to bring us to the end of ourselves and to see that everything and anything we have worth having is wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ in us. We're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. God did that. Why? That He might be glorified in your life and mine. But we can never do it in our strength. All we have to do is have this much faith to ask God to do it and to be willing to present ourselves before the Lord that He might do His work. As you read the Word of God, listen, it will pop out and it will bust out at the seams everywhere in the Scriptures. That it's always by the might and strength of God, never in us. Never in us. So let's look at a couple of things tonight as we look at this text of what God really wants us to know. You could back up to verse 1. We're not going to do that. Let me have you go to verse 6, and I want you to see some things here that God wants us to understand and to know about what He's given to us. Notice verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. That's an important statement. You cannot be in the world and expect to be used by the Lord. We are in it, but we're not supposed to be of it. So he says, thine they were, and thou gavest them me, in verse 6, and they have kept thy word. Now, again, here's some amazing things, because God sees them after the Spirit of God is empowering their lives. They're failing, and they're not grasping all the truths. Remember, I think it was Andrew, or I can't remember, one of the disciples, the Lord saying, hey, listen, you know the Father's in me, and I'm in the Father, and you've seen the Father. And one of the disciples said, well, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus says, have I been with you so long? And you're really asking me that question? Don't you know that the Father's in me and I'm in Him? And listen, grasp this concept. The whole reason why that Jesus said that the Father is greater, and this hangs some people up, greater than I, is because the Lord was incarnate here on earth and He submitted Himself, listen, to show Himself an example for us that we cannot do anything. He says, I don't do anything of myself. I only do the things I see my Father doing. You know what we're doing? We're busy doing things for God, bless God. But we're not looking to see what He's doing and the way that He's directing us. And then we wonder why this world that God wants to flip upside down is not turning upside down. There's not one problem with the Word of God. If there's a problem, and there is a problem, because the light of God needs to shine for the glory of God. And so the problem is in our understanding. And God wants us to have that clear in our hearts and minds. So notice verse 7. Now they have known that all the things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Did they really know that at this point? He's seeing the future. Here's the thing, ready? Listen very carefully. We will know all these things the moment we submit to God. We'll see them clearly. Oh, the light shines in. The understanding comes. So Peter preached, remember? And 3,000 souls got saved, did they not? Do you not think Peter was taken by that? Do you not think Peter was saying, I understand, I get it. Now, did that mean that Peter was without sin at that very moment and perfect? No, he still made mistakes. But he knew where the power was at. And it was in God. And in all these people, remember before when the 70 were sent out? Lord began to tell them all these wonderful things about what they were doing. The demons obey us. And what did Jesus say? I don't rejoice in those things, but rejoice that your names are written down in heaven. He was redirecting. Oh, look what we're doing, Lord. Let me tell you what we were doing today. They were excited, but they missed something. Now all of a sudden, Peter, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, heals. He didn't heal it, but the Lord, he used Peter, rise up and walk in Acts chapter 3. And then what did Peter say? When he had the moment to testify, did he say, oh, look at what I've done? No, he says, hey, listen, guys. The one whom you crucified is the one who made this man whole again. Peter got it, didn't he? Do you think God wants us to get it? Because that's where the world gets turned upside down. And we just stand back and say, what a God. What a Savior. So notice, verse 8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. Is that true? Absolutely. And they have received them. And have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Do you believe that the Lord was sent by the Father tonight? I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Do we belong to the Lord tonight? Is God's word true? Is he wanting us to understand this important truth? Notice verse 10. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Does God want to glorify himself in us? Not by our strength, but by his. Listen, we read later on here in this chapter that he's not just praying for the disciples, but for all those that are going to come believing the word. That's us. We're in this group. God wants to glorify himself in your life and mine. He really does. And if we're struggling with that, and if we think it's an impossibility, we're not looking to God. We're looking to ourselves. Let me ask you this question. Did Peter ever use human reasoning? How well did that bode for him? It won't do well for us either. It'll get us in trouble. We might experience glimpses of some things. Lord, if it be thee, bid me to come on the water. I think he walked on the water for a little bit until he saw the waves. And then he cried out. But God doesn't want to put our confidence in what we can do. God wants us to put our confidence in what God has already done for us. So he says, verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. Aren't you glad God knows where we're at? And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name, those whom thou hast given me. Hey, who's keeping us tonight? God is. That they may be one as we are. That they may be one as we are. When? Tomorrow? Right now. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Who is he talking about? Who are the they? The disciples. The followers of Jesus Christ. Has God forsaken us? Has God left us to ourselves to fail? No. I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them. That's no surprise. We preach a gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that's the truth. Has it ever amazed you that you could preach about Allah and not get in trouble? Has it ever amazed you that you could preach about Hare Krishna and not get in trouble? Have you ever stopped to think that you could teach about Confucius? Be all right. Oh, but preach Jesus Christ. The Jesus Christ from the Word of God. And watch what happens. You know, I was amazed one time. It's amazing. When there are similarities and one stands out different, don't you know, God made it so easy for us to know the truth. All these other faiths say, oh, it's all about works. It's all about what you do. The truth is all about what God has done. And the devil in the world can't stand it. Devil in the world can't. The devil in the world do not want you and I to succeed. But fear not, because he that dwelleth in you is greater than those that are in the world. And he's already paid for our success. It's already been given, if we'll have it. So notice as we look at this, he says, verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Did you see that? Listen, the Lord prophesied in the book of Psalms about Judas losing his bishopric. Because God being God knew exactly what Judas was going to do and wove him right in there with it, with his will. Is it God's will that you and I glorify his name? Did we read that tonight? Then can it not happen? Does God not know our frailty? We would look back and we say, Lord, you sure you got the right person? Do you remember picking teams on a softball team? I tell you, you know what the Lord does? Not what the world does. You know what the world does? Takes the best ones with the best ability right up front. Right up front. You know what the Lord does? He takes those who have no ability and know it to glorify himself. He takes the weak things that the world considers weak. You know why? Because he's God. And he can succeed with nothing. He doesn't need anything. But he has seen fit and is pleased by taking us for his honor and glory. And all we have to do is say, Lord, everything you've asked me to do, I can't do. We're on the right track. Now we're at the end of ourselves. So, Lord, you've said this is to take place in my life. You must do it. You must do it. And then he says this, notice, verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things speak I in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. We should have the joy of the Lord. I'm not saying that we don't experience difficulties and trials in life, but we are solidly fixed on God's foundation where we know even, listen, that's the faith part. The faith part is I believe that God holds me in his hands. I'm not saying we won't shed tears. I'm not saying we won't experience difficulties. But that is the point to where we say, in spite of how I feel, in spite of what I think, in spite of what I'm hearing, I'm going to believe by God's grace, help me God, to believe that I'm in your hands and that nobody takes you out. Nobody takes me out of your hands. Verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Now, if you're having a difficulty being delivered from sin, it's because we're trying to do it. We're trying to do it. Who delivers us from the evil? Do we deliver ourselves? We just read there God does. Let's look at that again. Jesus speaking here, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. That's God's work. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Did you see that? Listen, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, has God not taken us out of the world? We're in it, but we're not supposed to be of it. Now, verse 17, sanctify them. Isn't that great? That's God's work too. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them. Every time you open up the word of God, you ought to say, God, sanctify me. I'm opening up your word. Your word does not return void. Please, Lord, allow it to accomplish the work that you've sent it forth to do. And that is to sanctify. We so oftentimes we think it's the preaching of the word of God to the unbeliever. I want you to know God loves the believer too. And that he wants his sanctifying work to take place in us. And when it does, don't you know you'll believe even more that when you preach the gospel to the lost, they'll be saved. Why? Because we have a personal experience of the sanctifying work that God is doing with his word in my life, in our life. God wants us to know that. And very quickly, ready? Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Is God in the business of sanctifying his believers? Absolutely. And then lastly, again, just by way of reminder, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us. God wants us to behold his glory. Where? Where? In your life. God wants to glorify himself. Isn't that amazing? He already has. Let me ask you this. If a lost person were to ask you, are you saved? What would you tell them? Would you tell them you're saved? Would you, if they were to say, now let me ask you, can you lose your salvation? Let me tell you about the grace of God. Amen? We're so happy to do that. Listen, may I tell you something? God has given to us. That is the best thing that could happen. That's just the beginning. God has given to us a testimony of salvation, eternal life. God wants us to be a testimony of his glory and grace that the world can see and believe. Didn't we read that earlier? God wants to glorify himself in such a way in your life, in my life, that the world, listen, not that we don't testify, but listen, all the testifying in the world without the power of God in the life of the believer is going to fall on deaf ears. It's the change that the world looks at that says, what do you have? And then when we open up the word of God and we tell them where it's come from, they'll want it too. Do you remember the believers were first called Christians at Antioch? Do you remember that? Do you know why they were called Christians? Because the world did two things with that. First of all, it may have been a derogatory term, because remember, he was crucified. But one thing was undeniable, the life of Christ. And they saw the life of Christ in the life of those believers. And so, for whatever reason, whether it was negative or positive, Christ was glorified in those believers at Antioch. And the world had to say, look at those Christians. Amen? That's a testimony of the glory of God in the life of the believers. Is our God the same yesterday, today, and forever? God wants us to walk in that, if we'll have it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, the understanding it brings to our lives and to our hearts and minds. And Lord, I pray that we would not be deterred or confused concerning the world and what it's trying to propagate and what our flesh might try to reveal to us or misguide us. Lord, may we look to your word and your truth alone, and being reminded, Lord, that your Holy Spirit indwells us to guide us and to teach us more about you and what you've given to us. And Lord, I pray that you would open up our hearts and minds, that we might seek you, that we might hunger and thirst after you and your righteousness. And Lord, that we might seek you in this matter of you wanting to glorify yourself in our lives. May we understand the truth that your plan is to glorify yourself in and through our lives, to be a testimony to the world of the grace of God that you've given to us. Bless the invitation. May we seek you, Lord, as you've called us to, with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our soul, believing, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.